Okay, now I'll turn the meeting over to Terry on step four, fear.
My name is Terry. I'm an alcoholic. I have been through this process with the help of a Big Book Step Study sponsor, definitely by the grace of God and the love of God. And I have made all my amends, and I'm living in 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis. And thank you, Mike, for asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope with this step. And the inventory process has been such a beautiful process, and fears happens to be one of my ultimate favorite inventories. So I kind of like to just kind of go through and read and share my experience with the reading. So notice the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties with Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, and the employee and the wife. So this short word somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. And so they're talking about, you know, if you turn back on page 65, they're talking about how it's laid out so plainly, and how the seven areas of self are really what they're talking about, and that's the difficulties that I have. It was the evil and corroding thread, the fabric of our existence was shot through with it. So I'm a visual, so a lot of my share tonight will be about visuals, because it helps me to remember. And so this visual of this fabric of existence, it's like, you know, it's like if you can picture me coming to a meeting with a black and white jacket on, and it looks really good up front, and I'm pretty well, you know, represent myself, and then I sit down in the back, and you see this big red thread going through it, and that's kind of how I look at this fear. It's just running through my life, and I'm not even aware of it, because it's running my life, and I'm allowing it to. It sets in motion trains of circumstances which we thought, which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve. And I always say there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's a train, because it is when I'm in self-reliance, and there's nothing good about it. But I have to do the inventory to see my truth. But did we not ourselves set the ball rolling? We think fear ought to be classed with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble, and I like to look at this as, you know, fear is, they classify it with stealing, but if you look at stealing, it's a conscious choice. Like, so for instance, I have, I'm married now, but I had a boyfriend in the past that, you know, he would get drunk, and I would get drunk with him, and, you know, he always tucked his money in his right boot, you know, so that he wouldn't spend that. And when he would come home, he would have money in his boot, but he was so drunk, he forgot that he had the money in it. But I knew that it was always there, so I would go in his boot and take the money and you know, take out what was there, and then, you know, take what I wanted, and then put the rest of it in his left boot. So come to, you know, I would say to him, you know, he would say, well, where's all my money? And I said, well, I don't know. And then finally he'd find it in his left boot, because that's where I put it. So the conscious decision was, you know, it took me a lot of work to get the money that I stole. So they talk about the stealing is classed with fear, and fear is a conscious decision. It's me relying on me. So it's kind of the same thing. It's a conscious decision. And it says, we review our fears thoroughly, we put them on paper, even though we had no resentment with connection to them. So I'm looking at the inventory, I'm taking the fears off my inventory, but I'm also putting fears on there that has nothing to do with my inventory. It says, we ask ourselves why we had this. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? And so I like to have a visual. There's this limo driver that pulls up and says, he gets out of the limo and he says, hi, my name's Fear, and it's time for you to get in, and I'll be driving you around all day. And that's kind of how it is for me. You know, it's like, you know, I get in the Fearmobile, and I'm off and running. And it says, self-reliance was as good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us once had that great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. And when it made us cocky, it was worse. And, you know, this is where, you know, it's almost like being in a life raft. Like, I'm in this life raft, you know, in this water, but my mind, because I'm so full of fear, it's like I'm just poking holes in the life raft, and eventually I'm going down because it's like I'm so afraid of, you know, the unknown. And I always say the acronym for fear is future events already ruined, and that's really kind of, you know, when I'm in the fear mode, it's like I'm projecting. And it says, so it talks about the cockiness, and it's like ego, arrogance, and pride. And it's kind of like, now the visual, you know, I look at, you know, the turtle, you know, it's, I can either be the turtle or the skunk, and the turtle goes inside. It's either I'm in flight, fright, or fight mode. And so when I'm in the turtle, I'm in fright mode. I go inward. And when I'm the skunk, I'm spraying everyone. And I'm, you know, I'm in full flight, and I'm fighting everyone. And the difference between the two is, you know, the turtle has to make less amends, you know, but both of them are really the same, because, you know, they're on their own power. That's as good as it gets. And so, you know, I kind of look at myself, I can go either way, you know, depending on what situation I am in. You know, it talks about, you know, fully solving the fear problem or any other. It was told to me, you know, when it comes to fear, ask yourself if you're in any immediate danger. And if you're not in any immediate danger, like if your house is not on fire, or there's no life-threatening situation, then it's your thinking mind. And so that really helps me to get reconnected to God, because when there's nothing happening, it's just my mind telling me that, you know, it's playing mind games with me. It says, perhaps there is a better way. We think so. For we are now on a different basis, the basis of trusting upon God. We trust infinite, which is, you know, limitless God, rather than our finite self, which is limited. And so I get to be, you know, a host to God or a hostage to my mind, and that's kind of how I look at it. You know, I get to show up every day and really get reconnected with God. And I have this story that I had worked at Hannaford's for 28 years in the baker department, and, you know, the last 4 years, I've been retired since 2010, but prior to that, 4 years before, I had the opportunity of quitting my job before that, and it took me 4 years to make that decision to get done with Hannaford's. And sometimes I have to have a big sign, and I remember that weekend I'd gone to New Jersey with a sponsee, and we were at a big book weekend and in New Jersey, and it was a great weekend. We got rejuvenated and, you know, just on a spiritual path again. And on the way home, they have billboards all through, you know, on the way back, and up on the billboard, because God's got a great sense of humor, up on the billboard it said, "Quit your job," like in big bold letters. And so I said, "Okay, God, you know, if this is not a sign, I don't know what is." And so I went in that we got back, and I went in that next day, and I gave my resignation. And I've been, you know, I've been just retired for the last, it would be 10 years this year. And I stayed in that job for so long because I had so much fear. You know, I'd been there 28 years. You know, I had 6 weeks of vacation. You know, I was making top dollar, which was not really top dollar. But, you know, and I you know, the fear really held me back. And what I found out by taking that leap of faith and, you know, having the big sign in my face, and, you know, I mean, God works in mysterious ways, but he knows I need some big signs. And in doing that, I just found that I'm so much more than my job, because I'd always believed that I was my job, and, you know, my job was who I was. And from this last past 10 years, my full-time job is I work with others full-time. And I always say I don't get paid with a paycheck, but you can't put a price on what I get paid for, because I get to see others recover and do this process. And I always say I have the best boss in the world. You know, he never fires me. He's always picking me up when I fall. He gives me raises on a daily basis. He gives me a good review. And even when I fall short, you know, he's there to pick me up. So I tell people that I have the best boss in the world, because I do. And I get to show up every day and work for God. And you know, I thank you, God, for this inventory. It says we trust infinite God rather than our finite self. We're in the world to play the role He assigned. So I learned in step three, you know, I'm the director that runs the show. So now I get to start to rely on this power greater than myself and really show up in this world and really just be a power of example and lean into this power. And what this looks like for me today is like, so not that fear never happens, because it does, but I know what to do with it. And I have a husband that's not very well, and he's declining really fast in the last past 2 years. And it is what it is. And I just remember I was in so much fear, because I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? You know, and I remember going into meditation, and God said to me, Terry, he's not yours. You know, he's mine, and I'm giving him to you on loan. And and from that, you know, I've just been able to, he said, in that meditation, he said, your job is to only love him. And, you know, and enjoy the time that you have with him. And so that's what I've been doing. You know, I'm here to love him and, just be the best wife that I can be today, and know that I can love him, but I can't save him. And that's what I've gotten from this inventory. So that's the world, you know, that's the role God wants me to. He's assigned me is to be a loving human being and to show up to the best of my ability on a daily basis. It says he would have us and humbly rely on him. So I get to lean on this power, and you know, one of my prayers is, God, I'm yours and I trust you. And that's what I've been using today. God, I'm yours and I trust you. And now with my husband, I say, God, he's yours, and I trust you. Whatever your plan is, I know that I'll be okay no matter what. And so, says he enables us to match calamity with serenity, and that's a promise, because my life was run, you know, when I'm in fear mode, you know, my life is a disaster. I'm a producer of confusion rather than harmony. And now I get to lean into this power and really rely on this power greater than myself and really use the tools of this program. And, you know, it says we never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. And I love that line, because it's like, you know, before I did the inventory, you know, I relied on people like God, and now I get to rely on God. And did I say that right? I used to rely on people like God, and now I get to rely on God, you know, rather than people. And it's such a beautiful process, because I had backwards. You know, I figured if I went to people, you know, that was going to fix me. And what I've learned through this process is people are always going to fail me, but God will never fail me. And I always say the problem in front of me is never as great as the power behind me. And I have a loving higher power today that I don't apologize for. You know, I always say, you know, live your life like those who don't know God but know you will come to know God, because they know you. And that's really how it is for me today. It's like I get to really be an instrument. It says we can laugh at those who think spirituality is a way of weakness. And paradoxically, it is the way of strength. And this really means for me, like I'm living life that really works today, because I'm leaning into this power. And I don't have to be afraid today. That's the good news. And they talk about, you know, fear and faith. Fear and faith shouldn't live in the same house. And I kind of disagree with that, because fear and faith should live in the same house, because if there's fear, you better have faith to get out of it. So I kind of look at that as a kind of a contradictory to what's said out there. Fear and faith should live in the same house, because if I'm in fear, I need to turn to faith, which is God. And the acronym I have for faith is finding answers in the heart, because that's where God lives, and each and every one of us is in the heart. And I always know, like, when I'm feeling insecure, I go in to get secure, because that's where God lives. And if I always go within, I'll never go without. And so it's an inside problem, but it's also an inside solution. And it says, the verdicts of ages is that faith means courage, so faith means action. So the action is I get to turn to God and ask God to remove my fear, which is, it's coming up. It says we let God demonstrate through us what he can do, not what I can do, because I'm a doer, and sometimes I just need to come in for a landing and really get connected with this power. It says we let him demonstrate through us what he can do. We ask him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be. And it doesn't say do, and it was pointed out to me, it says be. So, you know, so whenever I get in fear, you know, I'll say the prayer, you know, God, please remove my fear and direct my attention to what you would have me be. So for an example, come into the meeting tonight, I didn't really have a lot of fear. I got a little nervous, but I was okay once I came into the room, because I'm amongst my own kind. And so if I was, it would look like God would have me be just showing up, letting go of the outcome, sharing my experience, strength, and hope. Speaking from the heart. God would have me be calm, cool, carrying the message, you know, just really being a woman of honor and dignity, showing others how this program works, you know, being a light, you know, just being an inspiration to those that need the hope. God would have me be just really letting go of the outcome and turning everything over to him tonight. And that's really, I mean, it's such a beautiful process. You know, where it talks about outgrowing fear, you know, it was pointed out to me, it doesn't say we'll never have fear, because it's good that we have fear, because then, you know, we can really get out of dangerous situations if needed be. But the outgrow, you know, the outgrow is really we get to mature as we continue this journey. And I really get to grow up in the program, but I get to grow my faith. And, you know, faith doesn't grow without love, you know. And so the more that I get connected to this power, the more love gets to go through me, and I get to share that with others, because that's, I believe that's what this process is all about. It's a, you know, it's a relational journey, and it's all about, all we're ever looking for is a little love and attention. And if I can make a difference, you know, in someone's life by just even a smile or opening a door, kind acts, that's how God would have me be. And I'll just close with one of my prayers that I use every day is, God, I'm ready to put my marching boots on to march with you today. And my only prayer for you, my only prayer for you today is I hope I make you smile. And I'm a visual, so I always, you know, I look at God smiling, you know, at me, because I think I do a pretty good job on a daily basis. Yes, I fall short. You know, that's where, you know, 10 and 11 come in. But, you know, the good news is when I'm looking at the inventory, I get to name it, claim it, and really dump it and give it to God. And then wake up the next morning with a clean slate and start this day all over again. And I get to do it different. And but I know for me, if I don't lean into this power, it's not going to be pretty. So my job today is to lean into this power and walk through any fear, because, again, you know, fear is a conscious decision, and unattended fear turns into resentment, and resentment is the number one offender, and I can't afford resentments today. So when the fears come up, I know what to do. And so I guess I'll close with that. Thanks for letting me share, and it's always an honor to be a bright light and a good standard of Alcoholics Anonymous. So thanks.
Thank you. I have been through the step up for that. Big book steps to the sponsor, definitely God, making amends and working 10 hours, 12 on a daily basis. Terry, thank you for your share. Mike, thanks. That was a great, I just thought that was wonderful how you shared about fear. And I like what you said about fear and faith living in the same house. I think, you know, I've done a lot of inventory, four steps, and do a lot of 10, 11 steps. And, you know, I found that
thank you.
Fear has been my number one offender, I think. You know, since I did my fourth step out of the Big Book, with the help of the Big Book Steps that I sponsor, it's caused me more trouble than resentment. It's like after I had written all those resentments out and did my turnarounds, and did my, you know, my harms list and my sex inventory and saw all that stuff, it's like, no, I don't want to be like that anymore. You know, and I could, and it was, I wrote so many of the resentments that it was like really easy to like, to do a turnaround. It seemed like I could most of the time, you know, I could get it. But I found that fear would creep in. And sometimes it would rush in like, you know, like a train into the train station, and I'd be like overwhelmed. And I especially found this happening when I started playing God, and not, you know, not like acting like one of God's kids. Because when I, you know, when I selfishly and self, you know, went after everything that I thought I needed for me to be happy, fear came back. You know, and again, I became afraid of not getting what I wanted, losing what I had, somebody taking this from me, what people thought, all these, you know, all these fears. And I found that, and this is, you know, this is sober, this is after going through several four steps and whatnot, is that I hit a second bottom in sobriety, where it was like, okay, I'm at this point, I am just ready, really willing, you know, to do a third step. You know, I can't do it anymore, God. You take me as I am, I give up. Because even though I had done all this writing, all these books, all this stuff, intellectually knew everything, I don't think it totally hit me until several years later, when I basically was on my knees again, you know, saying, I can't do it, you know. And that's when I got to a point, and this was a lot of years of sobriety, and saying, all right, I can't do it anymore. I'm willing to do whatever you want. I give up. And that's when, you know, the real trust and reliance on God really, really started in all aspects of my life. Not that I still don't have, like, fears that come up now, but it's been nothing like that. And just like to say that, you know, for the new people, you know, welcome. And, you know, AA meetings are so important. Because even though, you know, I was feeling like, you know, kind of lost inside and wasn't doing everything right, so to speak. I kept coming to AA meetings, you know, and I kept hearing things that, like, yeah, it kept reminding me, oh yeah, I need to be that person. I need to be doing that. I need to be doing this work, you know. And I think if I had totally stopped going to meetings, I would have drank again, or maybe I would have killed myself. I don't know. You know. So it's really important to go to meetings and to have a sponsor and share where you're at. Because one of the reasons I got so out in left field was that my ego resurrected itself, and I didn't want to tell people, you know, that I wasn't, you know, that I didn't have all my, you know, my shit together. And And now I can sit here and tell you, I don't have all my shit together. But I'm okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Larry.
Hi, I'm Cynthia. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Cynthia.
I'm writing.
Keep writing. Cynthia, keep writing.
I'm an alcoholic. Dale, listening.
Hey, Dale. Welcome.
I'm Cynthia. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm writing.
Cindy,
keep writing.
I'm John, I'm an alcoholic, I'm reading.
John, keep reading.
My name's Tom, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Tom.
By the grace of God, I've been through the process of the Big Book Steps study sponsor. I've made some amends, I've been great, and I practice kind of all on a daily basis for the best of my wellness. Mike, thanks for taking it. Terry, always nice to meet you. My visual for you is that fear shows up in a pickup truck.
Yeah.
And the office will hold my beer before I do this. Yeah. And I was sitting here listening and thinking, you know, after writing about fear was the most difficult part of the writing for me. Because I didn't realize how ingrained it was, you know, it was at every turn. And so to do all this writing and do all this stuff, and it still is there. You know, it's like, what am I going to learn? You know, we're born with two fears, they tell us. You know, fear of heights and fear of loud noises. Everything else, I learned on my own. And some of it founded, you know, like don't stick your hand in a flame. Some of it, most of it, contrived. And then you build this life around dealing with it. And then so we're shown a way to allow higher power to take it, hand it over. And there are many successes, and you say, boy, this is the thing to do. And then the next day, you're right back at it. You know, it's just, it does not give up. And so, I guess my vigilance can't either. It's just, you know, what's it going to take to figure out that it's really okay just to hand it over to God? You know, have to forcefully reteach myself that every day, because I got so many years of practice of just assuming that I take care of everything, and that you know, whether it's fight, flight, or whatever, I'll just react to it and everything will be fine when it isn't. And so thank you for sharing. Mm. It's good to hear.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Pamela.
Everybody, I'm Igan. I'm a food addict and an alcoholic.
Hi, Igan.
Into this process with an AA Big Book Step Study sponsor, loving God, made my amends, and practicing 10, 11, 12 on a daily basis. Very good to see you all here. Thank you, Mike, for your service. I'm kind of sleepy, so many guests tonight, I think.
Thanks, Igan. My name is Vicky. Thank you for saying this to me.
Vicky.
And I'm writing.
Keep writing.
My name is Matt, alcoholic.
Matt.
In this session, with the help of the Big Book Steps Today sponsor and God and practicing the latest steps. And it's really great to hear you. Thank you. And thank you for sharing. My experience with this step is, you know, it's part of the four step inventory. I've given directions. I've written twice. So, I had slightly different directions between the first time and the second time. So every time I went and wrote, like I did the third step prayer and then I put pen to paper. It was like really just inventory. And like, you know, what came out. Like, you know, when I followed directions in the book, my sponsor gave me, said write down a list of all your fears. You know, most of my fears, like I harvested from the resentment part of the fourth step, when they ask you, like, where you're selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and fighting, fearful. So in there, you know, a lot of the fears were specific to particular resentments, you know, but generally they fell under the categories of, like, fear of others' opinions, fear of not getting what I want, fear of losing what I have, and fear of not having control. And, like, then after that, there was just, like, lots of, like, you know, nuances for those kind of categories. But some of them could be personal, like, you know, fear of, like, my father dying, or, like, a fear of, like, you know, my brother getting hurt, you know what I mean? Like, you know, these things that were, like, very real to me, especially in the context of the fourth step. But the directions of the first part of the fourth step, but, you know, directions that were given to me were, like, you know, list those fears, and then for every fear, like answer the question of like, when did I first have this fear? Like, how does the fear manifest today? Where did self-reliance fail me? And then what was the train of circumstance? And what should I have done instead? You know, so inevitably, like, the what should I have done instead thing was like, trust and rely on God. Like, so between like both times I wrote, the first time I wrote, my sponsor gave me very concise directions, much shorter than that. The second time I wrote, those were a longer list of questions. And I think in these rooms, you'll hear like, everybody has like slightly different ways of doing things. And I think in this part, but the gist of it is like, you know, trust and rely on God. What was profound in my writing, not that profound, but like, you know, when I asked myself, like, when did I first have this fear? Like, I had the fear, you know, when I was like a little kid. And, you know, like, you know, most of my fears like developed as like a small child. And like, if anybody like grows up in a dysfunctional home with like, you know, any of that stuff going on, like, you're going to have like, maybe, I'm not talking to anybody else, but I had a lot of fear. And like, it was real. But like, and my reactions to that fear were like, whatever I did to kind of like, you know, be self-reliant. And they made sense at the time, you know what I mean? And certainly my drinking and my drugging was a fear-based reaction to like trying to like cope with things, you know what I mean? And it made sense at the time. And to be honest with you, it appeared when I first started drinking and drugging that it seemed to like kind of satisfy some of my fears at the time, but then it didn't anymore, and like very quickly. But like, fearful reactions, like, yelling at my boss because like I have a fear of like them being disrespectful to me or something like that, or like digging in on like something real or imagined, you know, but usually imagined. And like, it's always personalized. I personalized like everything because everything I did was like fear-based. And so like, you know, like usually like a person just kind of acts the way they do because that's who they are. But like me, I felt like it was always about me. You know what I mean? So like, and I was always comparing myself to everybody else, you know? Like, and, you know, like, and as an active alcoholic, like, you know, inevitably I ended up like homeless and in jail and all that kind of stuff. And like, you know, everybody else's lives like most definitely looked better than you know what I mean? So like, there was a lot of like fear and insecurity there, but then, you know, I also grew up like without a lot of money, so like I had a lot of insecurities from when I was like growing up around like money and resentment and stuff like that. So like, all those fears were in place, but like, you know, like bringing those fears into adulthood, you know, and my like childlike reactions to these things in adulthood did not work very well. Like, you know, the train of circumstances, like, always, almost, like, I would lose whatever I had. Like, so, like, have that show up in my relationships, in my work, you know, and in, like, you know, like, fears around, like, my own personal safety, you know? So, you know, the writing is, like, the writing, I think, like, you know, at this part in the fourth step, really, I just relied on God and, like, put pen to paper. It was not analysis, you know? Like, it was more just, like documenting, like, the truth of the situation, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I think, like, my sense of fear has grown. I still have fears today, like, all the time. Like, I'm a fear-based person. Like, that is my nature. That's my human nature, like, in this body being who I am. You know, but, like, you know, what I do decide is, like, I trust and rely on God. So, like, you know, I do still have, like, these, like, sort of, like, fear-based, like, urges or, like, oomphs, you know what I mean? Like, in the day, and that's why, like, I do 10th and 11th steps to kind of navigate that stuff. And always, like, turning, like you talked about, like, to others, and as a means of getting out of self, you know, and being, like, other-focused is, like, always, like, a solution to, like, my fears. But it's really good to be at a meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Sabrina. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Sabrina. Hi, Sabrina. Keep writing.
Hi, my name's Peter, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Peter.
I've been through this process with Big Book Steps by the sponsor, the help of God. I've made some amends I've been making. I practice 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis. Terry, really good to hear you. I'm glad you're speaking tonight. I'm sorry to hear about Carol. He's a good man. And Mike, thanks for taking the meeting.